Good morning, Peninsula Hope family. I hope you guys are doing well, staying safe and healthy as you continue to shelter in place. And for those of you that maybe did a little bit of traveling or going out yesterday for the 4th of July, or if you are seeing this on the 4th, I hope you guys are staying safe, that you guys had a good time celebrating in kind of an unusual way. Let me open us up in some prayer. Lord Jesus, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And Lord, I pray that Lord, as we continue looking at not just the healing of our country and relationships, Lord, and as we start to take a look at how we communicate with others, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would guide us in all of our actions, how we relate to one another. Holy Spirit, speak to me and through me as I bring your word today. We pray this in your name. Amen. As I mentioned in our prayer, I've been talking about the healing of our country, and that's what we've been going through in the last couple of weeks. And for those of you guys that have been joining us on Zoom, I had kind of a little bonus point, a sermonette on how we communicate, and I'd mentioned that this was going to be the next series that we would be going through. And so we're going to be focusing on what we see in James 1, verses 19 through 20. So let me read that here for you guys. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at each of these aspects. We're going to be looking at what it means to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And being that it's anger that does not produce righteousness or rightness in God's eyes, I wanted to start there. I wanted to start with a question and conversation about anger. And a great place to start is asking, is anger a problem? The passage tells us that it doesn't lead to righteousness, but does anger really cause problems for us? And the reason I bring that up is there's a passage I had mentioned recently. It's Ephesians 4, 26 through 27. And it says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold." So when you read that, it would seem that the key is just not getting angry or not sinning in your anger. And so I want to break this passage down and then connect it to what we're seeing in James. And so, in fact, it does say the main thing is not getting angry. But we have to understand that this two verses in Ephesians, it is talking about righteous anger. So it's God's anger. It's the things that make God angry, not the things that make you and I angry. And oftentimes we forget about that. Also, it talks about not letting the sun set on our anger. In other words, it's saying don't hold on to your anger. Don't even hold on to it overnight for 24 hours. And often that is something that we do not do. When we're angry, it festers and we allow it to continue on days on end, if not months on end. And then finally, we're warned, don't allow Satan to get a foothold into your lives because of the sin that came from that anger. So we do see that anger is a problem. And if it is allowed to linger, it gives the devil a foothold that can take root in our lives. Look at it this way. It's like a seed. And if a seed is floating on water, not such a big deal. It may float and be eaten by a bird. It may end up disintegrating. It's not a real big issue. But if that seed, if it ends up getting to the shore and it ends up finding its way in some soil, it could start to take root. It could have little sprouts. And eventually, if it's allowed to grow, if it's not dealt with, it can grow to have really strong roots. And it's the same thing with anger. If we allow it to take root, it leads to more and more sins, and that's where it becomes a problem for us, where it allows Satan that foothold, that doorway into our lives. And so we have to be careful when we look at the anger in our lives. So now that we understand that anger is a problem, let's take a look, let's spend some time at talking about what exactly it is and what causes it. The American Psychological Association defines anger as an emotion characterized by antagonism towards someone or something you feel has deliberately done you wrong. One author said this about angry people. They have a low tolerance for frustration, meaning simply, they feel that they should not have to be subjected to frustration, inconvenience, or annoyance. They can't take things in stride, and they're particularly infuriated if the situation seems somehow unjust, for example, being corrected for a minor mistake. From these definitions, we see that anger is caused by our own perceptions and our reactions to the things happening around us. So anger, it's a very self-centered, it's a very selfish emotion that we experience. It's also important to understand that there are different levels to anger. When we talk about anger, most people may not really want to admit to having any kind of anger issues. And so they might not realize it because they're not looking at the full spectrum of anger. Psychology Today put some descriptions to the different levels of anger to help monitor the anger in people's lives. They described lower levels of anger as displeasure, disappointment, or annoyance. Mid-level anger looked like irritability, being disgruntled, and having resentment. And then the high levels of anger were described as disgust, bitterness, and being enraged. We have looked at the what of anger, what causes it, what's the definition of it. So let's take some time and talk about how anger affects us. Proverbs 14:17 says, "A quick-tempered person does foolish things, and the one who devises evil schemes is hated." Anger causes people to make decisions that they don't think about, that they didn't have any wisdom in making. They just reacted. I probably reacted poorly. And anger makes it difficult for people to like you. And in some cases, people may really dislike you. I've mentioned to some of you over the last couple of months that one of the interesting things that Emily and I have been doing as we've been sheltering in place, it's been watching Little House on the Prairie. And this is a very old show, and some of you guys may remember watching it. Some of you may have never heard about it. And so Emily said, I need to give a little background. This is a show, I think from the 80s, maybe the 70s too. And it was about a family that lived in Minnesota back in the late 1800s. And so it's kind of got the Wild West kind of theme, kind of a wholesome kind of a feel to it. And there's one character, her name is Nellie Olson, and she is a very spoiled, very rich girl. Her family owns the general store in town, and they are the richest family. And she has a lot of anger problems. And there's one episode where a little boy ends up liking the primary character, Laura Ingalls. He's dating her more or less. And so Nellie gets very angry. In her angry, she lashes out and she ends up destroying all of her toys. And she makes a foolish decision. She doesn't even think about, I'm gonna want those toys to play with tomorrow. She just lashes out and destroys them. Doesn't even think, and this is a great example of foolish decisions that come from anger. And really, nobody in town, including the adults, really likes her. And so I thought that illustration fits so perfectly what Proverbs 14:17 tells us. We also see in Proverbs 29:22, an angry person stirs up conflict. and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. Anger creates unnecessary drama and disobedience to God. If you guys have ever received maybe an angry or frustrated email or text from someone, the last thing you want to do is respond right away. Because chances are you're going to be responding in your anger and you're going to stir up conflict. And whenever I have heard these stories, they never turn out well. They end up causing more problems. Anger also affects our health. There are so many reports about elevated cortisol levels. Your blood pressure all goes up because of anger. It affects our emotions, our values, and how we trust others. So anger affects us in so many different ways. Anger can also take a toll on our relationships. And so I want to talk about two stories that highlight how anger affects our relationship with God and our relationship with others. The first story is a story of Jonah. And for most of you, you probably think of Jonah and the whale. We're going to get into more, a little more description, a little more focus on what this passage is talking about. So the focus will be Jonah 3:10 through Jonah 4:11. And instead of reading that all, I'm going to summarize what's happening here with Jonah. God had asked Jonah to go and preach against the Ninevites. Nineveh was the capital for the Assyrians. And these were enemies of Israel. And Jonah didn't want to go. So he ran away to Tarshish. He did not want to preach against the Ninevites. And we may think, well, maybe he was scared. It was an enemy of Israel. But what we see is that is not the reason. That was not his motivation. So on his trip, as he was running away to Tarshish, God creates a storm. And so it ends up that Jonah is thrown overboard. But God, he provides a whale or a big fish that swallows Jonah and actually protects him. We see this in Jonah 1:17. It says, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." And as you read Jonah's story, you see that he was praying and thanking God while he was in the belly of this fish. And eventually we see that he is spit up, or the passage says he was vomited onto the ground. And then God talks to him again and says, "Now I need you to give the Ninevites a message. Tell them in 40 days, I will level Nineveh." So now we see that Jonah goes. He has no problem with this now. And he goes and he preaches and he teaches and he says, you know what? Here's a warning, in 40 days, God's gonna decimate Nineveh. But the teaching, the preaching, that message really struck a chord with the king and with all the people in Nineveh, and they repented and they turned from their evil ways, and God forgave them. Jonah 3:10 says this, "When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened." As we read on, we see that Jonah, he was livid. He was mad about this. And we start to question, what is happening here? Why is Jonah so mad? We know he wasn't afraid to preach. And now God has forgiven the Ninevites. What's going on? Well, what we see is that Jonah's angry because God forgave an enemy. And that's the reason he didn't want to go and preach to them at first. He knew that God, being the God of grace and forgiveness, that God would forgive the Ninevites. And this made Jonah angry. Jonah 4 verses 1 through 3 says, "But to Jonah this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are gracious and compassionate, that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take my life, for it's better for me to die than to live." This is how extreme, how really crazy Jonah's anger is making him. That he is so angry that God forgave the Ninevites, that he would rather die than be alive. And ultimately, as we finish up in chapter 4, we see that God uses the provision of shade that he gave to Jonah to show Jonah how wrong he is. That God is in control and God can forgive and discipline whoever he wants. And that the real issue here was not God and how he saved or relented from destroying the Ninevites. It was Jonah and his anger. And from this, we see that anger causes us or can cause us to mistrust God, his plan, and his sovereignty. It can show that we have a disapproval of God. And we may find ourselves believing that our way is more important than his. That's what Jonah thought. Jonah thought the Ninevites need to be punished. But that's not what God thought. That's not what God did. If unresolved, our anger can lead to backsliding. It can lead to a disbelief in God and a lack of understanding of what forgiveness is and Jesus's sacrifice on the cross. So we can see how serious unresolved anger is and how it affects our relationship with God. Now let's take a look at how anger affects our relationship with others. And for this, I'm going to read Genesis 4, verses 3 through 8. And this is a story of Cain and Abel, two brothers, the sons of Adam and Eve. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. So these two brothers that should love each other, anger getting in the way affected their relationship. In looking at this story, we see that unresolved anger, it can cause mistrust between two people. It kills intimacy. People are less likely to share with one another. Or maybe people start wearing masks. Maybe they act like someone else, or they say things they don't mean because they are walking on eggshells around people. They are afraid of how angry people will get. And so they're not being true to their hearts. Anger creates judgment in people, and it can cause people to feel unsafe. So again, there are so many ways that anger affects us and the relationships with us and our friends and family, those around us, and ultimately with God. So how is it then that we do what James says, and how do we become people who are slow to anger? Well, first we have to identify the anger. As I mentioned earlier, we also have to understand that there are levels to anger. Something that we may think is petty, that isn't a big deal, It could actually be that little seed of anger, and it's starting to take root. We just don't see it. So we have to remember that there are levels to anger. We also have to understand that people express anger differently. Not everyone's going to start swearing and cursing and throwing things. Sometimes the way that people deal with their anger, they withdraw socially. Maybe they sulk or they get physically ill. So sometimes you may not realize someone is angry because they are not responding to anger the way you do or the way you think people should respond to anger. We also need to quit being so self-centered. Philippians 2 verses 3 through 4 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." So we need to shift our thinking away from us and to what's in the best interests of those around us. I love this one, and we actually have a book study going on about this. We need to lower our anxiety. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We have to submit everything to God. We need to pray. We have to thank God. We have to change our mindset to help us with our anxiety. And the final thing I want to put out there for you is we need to improve our communication. Again, James 1:19 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." And that's what we're going to talk about the next couple of weeks, is how do we do that? How do we become quick to listen? And how do we become slow to speak? So I challenge you this week, test yourself. See if there is some unresolved anger in your life. And pray. Think about these things. Think about the best interests of others. Ask God to help you with your anxiety. And start thinking about the way you communicate with others. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be a people, your people, Lord, that would pay attention to the way that we communicate, that would pay attention to the way that anger affects us. Lord Jesus, that we would open our eyes to the truth that unresolved anger can allow Satan, Lord, to have that foothold into our lives. Lord, help us to understand that change and healing begins with us. Lord, I pray that you would meet the needs of anyone who is going through a financially challenging time, individuals that have health issues, relational issues, spiritual issues, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would hear our prayers, Lord. We pray this all in your name. Amen. We love you guys, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Thanks for joining us today. God bless.